Thank you, Dawn. If you want to follow the reading, it's in your Bibles, page 1119. 1119, Colossians 3, 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Our prayer is that God will bless that reading to us as Paul opens it up to us.
So we're continuing our series on the community or the life on the front line. It's a very militaristic way of putting about talking about our lives, but life on the front line. And we're looking tonight at a community on the front line. And I just want to stress to us what the theme of these series of sermons are. This is a quote, and I don't think Chris Wright has ever put this into writing, but this is something he said when I was a student at All Nations. Mission and ministry are far too important to be left to ministers and missionaries. It is down to us. We are the ones who are on the front line. And we're being encouraged to think about where is our front line. And we heard from Phil that his front line is at his, in his work. He is a missionary, a minister for God's kingdom there. It might be looking after aged parents. It might be looking after children. It could be our work. It could be our school. These are our front lines. And this is that important, that God has given this role to his church. Now, I do want to clarify something that doesn't mean that we all turn in to massive evangelists while we are working. It would be a bad use of your time if you're working and instead of doing your job, you're going around trying to evangelize people. That would not be honest. But we are representatives of Jesus Christ on our front line, in our workplace, in our school, in our university. But, praise God, we're not doing this as individuals. We're doing this as a community. And we heard from Phil how he had been brought up in the church, being equipped, being trained, being formed in order to do his work in the world. So the important thing is, let me say something slightly controversial, that this is not our front line. We are being equipped here for our front line. It's out there in the world, which is the important thing to understand. Now, I've been given Colossians 3, 12 to 17, and I would encourage you to open a pew Bible or your own Bible or on your iPhone or your tablet if you're like Moses. Then you can actually follow along with me. That, I must say, that was Chris Wright's joke, not mine. I can't plagiarize even jokes, so... Colossians is a great book. It's quite similar to Ephesians. But in Colossae, which is the city where the Colossians lived, And Paul is responding to a couple of heresies. From what he said, it's thought that he's responding to some sort of ceremonialism, Jewish ceremonialism, or a philosophy called Gnosticism. Now, both of these things separated people. Either you were in or you're out. Because Gnosticism, you had to have a knowledge. And if you didn't do the ceremonies right, you were out, you weren't in. So Paul is addressing the Colossians, and he starts by saying, therefore. A tip. If you are ever given a passage to talk about or read, and it says therefore, look at the verse B before it, because that's going to give you the reason why Paul's going to say this. Therefore, he says. The verse before is this wonderful, wonderful verse that says, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Unity. You've got this Gnosticism on one side, but we are all one in Christ as a community. Now that reminds me, of course, of Colossians 1:20. At the beginning, where he said, through the God's end game is through Christ to reconcile himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. We are all one in Christ. Therefore, Paul says, and this is the reason that he's speaking to the Colossians about these things. So the nature of this community that God is forming is chosen, holy, and beloved. These are terms that the Old Testament uses to describe Israel. Chosen, holy, and beloved of God. And because they are these three things, they've got to live in a certain way. How can we function on our front lines? It's because we're part of this chosen, holy, loved community that acts in certain ways. Now, clothe yourself. Paul seems to like this sartorial, you could say. I discovered this word about 2 years ago. I didn't know it before. Sartorial, clothing stuff. Put on, Paul says, the new self. Throw off the old self. Clothe yourself. Put it on. Wear it like a jacket. Get suited up. Get kitted out in these things. It reminds me... Reminds me of Ephesians 6. All these things, Ephesians 6, are all these military pieces of equipment. You've got the belt of truth. You've got the breastplate of righteousness. You've got the shoes of the readiness of the gospel of peace. You've got the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. All these are objective things that are that talk about our salvation, righteousness, faith, salvation. But here, they're all relational things. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. It's a very, very beautiful terms, really. Reminds me a lot of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. These are what we are to be like. These are the qualities that we as individuals have to have in order to be this nurturing community on the front line. Because we are one in Christ, we clothe ourselves with compassion. It's a lovely word, compassion. Feeling alongside somebody, being alongside them. Care, love, kindness. It's such a despised word these days. They're ambitious, but they're not kind. Kindness, lifting somebody else up in their need. Humility, How do I act in front of somebody else? Arrogantly or humbly? You might think it's an attitude towards yourself, and it is, but it's how do I view myself in front of you? Am I humble? Do I care? Gentleness. And there's another word that we don't use very often these days. Just before coming out, I have BT, so I have BT Sport, and I was watching the rugby. I love watching the rugby, just for the sheer physical, I was going to say violence of it all, but I mean, but they're not gentle. They are not gentle, those rugby players. But gentleness is a quality that we need to have in order to be part of a community that can facilitate our brothers and sisters on their front line. How can I help Phil in his job? I can be gentle towards him, kind, humble, and patience. All these things are qualities that we need as individuals within our community. Now, I said clothe yourself, and I quite purposefully misread it, because it's clothe yourselves. This is a community activity. The command that you've got in the Bible here is not individual. It's plural. Clothe yourselves. This is a community activity to put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. So it's clothe one another. I use that. So they're actually helping each other on with the clothing. So clothing ourselves, helping one another to be gentle and kind and humble, etc. Now, there's the question. How can we do this at Hartford Baptist? How can we help each other to put on compassion, etc.? How can we do that practically? Is it on a Sunday morning? Is it at meeting point? Is it in home groups? Is it what a friend in Argentina used to call the service after the service? Which is the time we spend chatting away with one another after the service. This is all part of our worship. How can we help each other on with those clothes of compassion, etc.? How can we do this? And it's our responsibility to do this. If we are believers, we are the ones who are facilitating the other in their frontline work. Supporting one another, caring for one another. You know that I lost my job in the summer, and there are several people who have supported me, who just ask, doing all right? All I need. I am being, they are showing compassion and humility and love just by being there and asking me every now and again. It's great. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for doing that. This is how we can support one another in our front lines. Now, verses 13 to 17 really start to bring this down a little more concretely. That's rather a Spanish way of putting it. They make it much more firm and down to earth. Bear with one another in forgiveness. My mum used to quote Ephesians, where Paul says, to my sister and I when we used to fight, which was quite regularly, be kind to one another, gentle-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. That's probably the RSV version, isn't it, Jeff? But here we are, bear with one another, put up with each other. Because we're all sinners, we're all weak, we all mess up, we all fail each other. So instead of judging, bear with one another, forgive one another. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to see people forgive. God is free because he freely forgives. And he doesn't hold it against us. I've known people who can't forgive, and it's a cancer. It just eats them away. Put on love. Put on that special love of God that doesn't require anything back. It is gratuitous. Gratuitous love. Don't require anything. I'm just giving love. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts for unity. Peace is we all have heard many times the word shalom. It's not just peace and absence of war. It's well-being. The peace of Christ. So we are living well because we let that peace rule in our hearts and it brings unity. And let the message of Christ dwell in your hearts. The message of forgiveness and love that God has given us in Jesus Christ. That we no longer are at war with God. We are at peace with God. And the way we do this is to teach and admonish. I looked up this word, admonish, because it's not one of those words that you use very often. And it's got loads of different meanings. To counsel, to correct, to encourage, to build up. In psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. So in our worship, our whole life worship, we are building one another up so that we will be strong when we go out into our front line. And finally, this brings it back to this whole missionary aspect. Whatever we do, whether it be sharing the gospel, or whether it be taking a lollipop and standing in the middle of the road so the children can cross, whatever we do, whatever we say, we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. It is for his glory that we do all these things. Our life together here, within these 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9 walls, our life here and how we live and love one another, how we forgive one another, equips us, strengthens us, teaches us for our role on the front line out in the world. In the church in Argentina where we worshipped, when somebody would graduate from university or finish their training or graduate from high school, we used to call them up and they got their first job. We'd call them up in front of the church and we would ordain them. And that's what we used to say. We are ordaining you as a minister of the gospel for Christ in the world. Building each other up. So, in conclusion, it's more than one conclusion. As a community on the front line, we need to clothe ourselves and help each other to get suited up, to get kitted out in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. It's not the job of the leadership team. It's not the job of the pastors, ministers, whoever. It's not the job of somebody else. It's our job. How are we going to kit somebody out in compassion, etc., this week? Mutual forgiveness, love, the peace of Christ in unity, the message of Christ in encouragement, and thanksgiving are necessary community characteristics for a group of believers who know that their role is in the world. And let us do all of this for the glory of the name of Jesus Christ. We are a community on the front line, whether we like it or not. If you're a believer, you're on the front line somewhere in your work, in your family. And we need to kit one another out for this task. We can't do it on our own. We can only do it clearly with the power of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is given to the church for that role. Let's pray together.